Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Welcome back, everybody, to the early line here on Sports Grid. Hour number two, I'm Dane, he's Kevin, and we're trying to find out how to make some money off of all the news and notes that we hear in the NFL, in the NHL, MLS coming back, how to take advantage of a potential new rule in the NFL around the onside kick. But some news happened over the weekend, Kev, that we got to catch everybody up on. You know, we were talking at the end of last week around the Eagles and the Seahawks were both teams that had sort of made it clear that they were fishing in the pond for a veteran running back, right? Yeah. We had heard guys like Hyde and Freeman and Shady linked to Philadelphia, the same kind of names linked to Seattle. Well, it seems that the Seattle Seahawks have found their guy, and it is Carlos Hyde. He's going to be signing a one-year deal there with Seattle. Remember, they have Chris Carson coming back from injury. They have Penny, who they now, it seems like, they do not expect to be ready necessarily for week one. The Seahawks decided that Hyde was a better value than, you know, whatever Devontae Freeman was asking for. We'll touch on Freeman in a second, but for Carlos Hyde, do you like the fit?
I think so. I mean, they clearly needed some depth with when they watched what happened to their running back group last year, and they all just dropped one after another. Right. I think that if you wanted to have Chris Carson on a fantasy team, maybe you're playing in a, you know, a keeper league or whatever it might be, dynasty format. This is, you wanted it to be Marshawn Lynch because Marshawn Lynch is getting a very finite amount of work. Carlos Hyde, I mean, conceivably could beat Chris Carson out for the job. Yeah. Like, I don't necessarily...
It's the same idea, right? Remember the Jaguars brought in Mike Glennon, not Cam Newton, right? Yes. It's the same kind of thing. Carlos Hyde is an Andy Dalton piece here. It's not a, you know, it's not a Mike Glennon kind of piece.
Yeah, exactly. So, but overall, for the Seahawks, it's a good thing. Fantasy herd, we've talked about it. It, you know, muddies the waters a little bit. But from the Seahawks' perspective, this is a good thing because... despite them having Russell Wilson, running the football is so damn important to them. So at least if they're going to stubbornly continue to run the football at this rate, you have to hope then that they at least have competent enough backs.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually, you mentioned like if you had Chris Carson in a dynasty, that this is maybe not the best news, right? Because Hyde will get a legitimate piece of the pie. Right. Yeah. And I believe that as well. You add to that the Seattle Seahawks, despite the fact that they have, in my opinion, the best player in the NFL as their quarterback over the last few years, Kev, they've been a run heavy team. Right. So that's another good landing spot. I have Carlos Hyde in dynasty leagues. OK. And so I am actually happy. Right. This is if you lined up every team in the NFL where he could have landed, this would have been one of the top five. So I am excited about that potential. And you also mentioned Devontae Freeman. Right. Because Hyde and Freeman, along with McCoy, we've mentioned guys like Lamar Miller are some of these veteran unaccounted for backs that still can be had. And we knew last week that Freeman, it was around a $4 million offer, that he said no to it. Well, we are now hearing that, you know, maybe Devontae Freeman hasn't looked himself in the mirror yet. Or if he does, it's one of those funhouse mirrors. Because he still thinks he's a little bit, you know, the market is different than what it's bearing out to be. We're now hearing word, Kev, that Devontae Freeman says he'll sit out the season, right? He'll sit out the season if he doesn't get an offer that he likes. Now, you know, it's one thing when you're Le'Veon Bell, Melvin Gordon doing this, and you're getting paychecks coming in, right? Because you're already with a team. I think this is different a little bit. Is this a, well, A, do you believe it? Mm-hmm. And B, is it a smart approach if you're Devontae Freeman or his camp?
So initially, I would have told you I don't like this. But for whatever reason, this was one of those things that I saw, gave it a couple, and I went, oh, no, this is the right move for him.
Okay.
To me, Devonta Freeman is someone who's battled these injuries, right?
Okay.
So if he ends up sitting out the entirety of the season, it's not the worst thing in the world. He'll come back next year. He'll get his job. He'll be healthy, and I think people will be willing to pay him. The bigger thing for Devonta Freeman, though, is avoiding this transition from a lead back to a guy we signed to bring in to be a part of something, and it's just what you are, right? Because now, what have we talked about a lot with Cam Newton?
Yep.
Wait for the injury, you'll get signed, you'll get paid, you'll get your spot. So say Devonta Freeman doesn't get a job until week five. Sure. And now it's not going to be for, you know, $5-7 million, but that's okay. He's not doing 16 weeks of work. But what he will be doing is coming in as a lead back, and if he is as successful as he believes he can be in that role, then he will keep himself in the mind of ownership, general managers around the league
as a starter,
as a guy that can be, yes, your starting top running back, as opposed to a filler in, he's my second on the depth chart type of back. I actually think Devonta Freeman is really, really smart about how he's going about this.
Okay. And so it sounds like you're saying, similar to Cam Newton, maybe the time is to wait, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to wait.
Yeah. And I'll say, though, that's also maybe, like, I'm trying to fill pieces in for Devonta Freeman, right? Like, I'm essentially booking how I think he's approaching this.
Right.
Maybe Devonta Freeman is like, if I'm not signed before the start of camp to a deal worth $6 million, you won't see me. Now, that stinks. That's a bad idea. I don't think that's a smart move. But if he's doing it kind of the way I'm saying, I think it's an approach that can work out for him.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, when we talk about guys like Cam Newton, Devonta Freeman, Jadeveon Clowney, all the people that are kind of still out there, the question is, will they humble themselves, right? Or will they keep their price as high as they believe it should be? And we'll see what the market says. You know, one thing that the market did say is that Joe Flacco can still be a backup quarterback in the NFL because he was signed over the weekend by the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. A lot of people have been wondering, you know, what I as a Jets fan will think about this. I'm not mad at it, you know? I mean, he's an insurance policy. We saw what happened when Sam Darnold went down last year. It wasn't pretty for the Jets. Now, in my opinion, this also helps the fourth-round pick, James Morgan, right? Because now you have another veteran in that room to learn from. Listen, if Joe Flacco is actually starting games for the Jets, it's a problem. But that's because it means Sam Darnold isn't there. But if you put Flacco as one of these veteran backups in that quarterback room to help the development of Sam Darnold and the new kid that they drafted, I'm not mad at it.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
He doesn't move the needle, right? But neither did Mike Glennon signing in Jacksonville.
Right. He's a better backup than what they had.
Yep.
But he himself has injury concerns. He did take a $1.5 million deal that could see an extra $3 million added to it through incentives, which if you're the Jets, you have to hope he absolutely does not hit. You know, I feel like we haven't heard bad things about Flacco in regards to relationships with Lamar and Drew Lock, so that is good in terms of him coming in and working with Sam Darnold. And I guess you just, you know, you kind of – it's good in a way, right, because Sam Darnold is in a bit of a more fragile state than, say, Dak Prescott to me, right, where Sam Darnold being the future of this franchise is still up in the air. I like Sam Darnold. I think he can be. I think that he's certainly had his moments. Now, I think that whole Patriots Monday night game is the most inexplicable performance I've ever seen in my life. I think it's the most inexplicable thing I've ever seen in my life. But it's what it is. Like, will he figure this out? Like, so ultimately, does Flacco matter in the grand scheme? No. The one thing I did see is some people saying, like, you know, why Flacco and not Cam Newton? I think, we're talking about very, very different situations.
Absolutely.
Like, we've heard that Cam is willing to be a backup, but is he willing to be a $1.5 million backup? I'm not positive. Is he willing to be a backup on the Jets with, I think it's fair to say, their expectations are
a
not.
A more established franchise quarterback, or at least one where the path is not clear. Yeah. And no, I agree with you.
Go ahead. And also, I was just going to add, though, if you believe that you want to see what you have in Darnold this year, the recipe is not putting Cam behind him, who a lot of people would say is a better quarterback, and by week three would be calling to start games.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Kevin. You know, when you talk about Cam, it's apples and oranges, and your team has a situation, a financial situation, right? An investment in the current, you know, quarterback situation, a scheme fit situation. There's so many reasons why you can't just be like, oh, Cam is better than this guy. You know, there's so many other considerations that go into it. So those are some of the things that happened over the weekend. What we want to do, Kevin, is get into our team-by-team spotlight. We've been in the NFC South. If you didn't see our preview of the Carolina Panthers, you can go on back and check us out. We stay in the NFC South, and today we talk about the New Orleans Saints. Who that? Okay, that's what I'm wondering. Oh, by the way, I've been to the Dome. Okay, I was there for a Monday night game, Saints-Giants, at this point a good 5-7 years back. I've never heard a place get louder. I have never heard a place get louder. And so for me, that home field advantage does matter. Remember, in the NFC, there's only one bye this year. And the Saints, many people believe, could be players for that. Before we go into their futures bets, their game by game, like we've done with other teams, you know, Kev, what do you think about their offseason? They didn't have much of a draft, right? They only had a few picks. They got the offensive lineman. We thought they were going to get the linebacker, a guy like Queen, or a guy like Murray. They didn't, but they lucked out getting Bond later on, right? Yeah. They bring in Emmanuel Sanders. They bring in Jameis Winston as insurance. They ensure that Taysom Hill is a part of this team. And they got Drew Brees coming back, riding the saddle for at least one more go. What did you think about the Saints offseason?
So I wasn't thrilled with that first-round draft pick of Cesar Ruiz, who I did think is a really good talent, but Patrick Queen was there. Queen was such an obvious fit that the Chargers thought it necessary to go from 37 to 23 to get in front of the Saints to take Kenneth Murray, because linebacker was such an obvious fit for the Saints. Now, the
Still got the linebacker. Remember, and in Arizona, or the team that got Josh Jones in the third round, right? Arizona, right? They went Simmons, but then they still addressed the need. Didn't the Saints still address the need?
I feel like Zach Bond, though, is the type of linebacker he is, more as your outside linebacker, trying to get after the pass a little bit more, as where Patrick Queen is. I'm not calling him Luke Kuechly, but just if you can envision in your head what Luke Kuechly's role is, that's kind of more so the Patrick Queen type of role, that pure middle linebacker. The Cesar Ruiz thing, though, ended up taking on a new life once they got rid of Wofford. They're, you know, one of the better guards in this league, who I think is actually still available, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. Like, teams should be finding money to bring him onto their rosters. That, though, changed the perspective then of that draft's pick to me. Because I didn't like them adding a depth piece on the offensive line, which has value, but doing that over Patrick Queen was puzzling. Clearly, to move money around to make things like Jameis and Taysom Hill work, they needed to move on from Wofford. Cesar Ruiz can come in. So that, to me, made that pick then land a little bit better for me.
All right, fair enough. When we come back on the other side of the break, we look at Saints futures bets. We look at the Saints schedule, and we look to see if this onside kick rule is going to help them in any specific games as well. We'll do all that and more when we come back. It's the Early Line, giving you the edge. I'm Dane East Kevin, right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Early Line here on Sports Grid. Dane and Kevin trying to dig into the New Orleans Saints as we continue kind of our roster reset, the way too early line. We shine our spotlight on the New Orleans Saints. We've been going through the NFC South over the course of the last few shows. Don't forget, the Bucs will be up tomorrow and followed by the Atlanta Falcons. So when I look at the Saints, I mean, it's interesting, you know, Kev, because obviously they are one of the favorites. They're one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl, for goodness sakes, right? So what is the best way to play them with other kind of top contending teams? We've made the point that even if you have a really high win total, I sometimes don't like trying to go over that because, you know, everything has to go right. So we have it up here. Here are some of the ways to bet futures with the New Orleans Saints. Their win total is 10.5. All right, so they would have to get to 11 to do that. You may think that's possible. And remember, they went undefeated without Drew Brees last year. Would that happen again? I'm not so sure. Heavy juice to make the playoffs if you think, like, maybe they don't get to 11 wins, but you still think they're a lock-solid contender. Minus 350 for the Saints to make the playoffs, plus 270 if you think it goes somehow off the rails for Peyton Brees and the crew and they don't make the playoffs. And they are the favorite, Kevin, to win the NFC South at minus 110. You know, the Bucs, who we'll talk about tomorrow, are plus 160. But yes, they're the favorite to win the NFC North. And then you ask yourself, well, if you're the favorite to win a division and you're, you know, people think you're going to win 11 games, what does that mean for the NFC Championship? And I'll let you know, they are the second choice in the NFC, Kevin. Mm. So we're talking about a legitimate big boy here. The New Orleans Saints are plus 650 to win the NFC. And, you know, I mean, when you think about it, they're the fourth choice to win the Super Bowl right now, going off at 12-1. So before we go game by game, with those numbers in play, what's the best way to bet the Saints in the futures? Or are there, is there another bet that I'm not thinking of?
Well, so I would tell you that last year I played their win total. Last year, I found myself finding – now, last year was the first year I really played some win totals, right? And, you know, the ideology was around. But last year my thought was, I'm just going to think whoever I think the best team is in the league, I'm going to play them to win over. That was pretty much my thought process there. And the Saints fit that mold, and they certainly went over their win total. Now, will they be able to do that again? I definitely think so. I mean, they are – they have maybe the best roster in football. They are so incredibly complete. What jumps out to me – and I'm usually someone who prefers plus prices, lesser odds. I'm not someone who likes to lay, you know, 500 to win 100. But that minus 350 for them to make the playoffs sounded low to me. It just does. And I don't know if part of it is because now they are not this overwhelming favorites to win the South like they typically are at minus 110. And you might say, well, then why not pick them to win the South? Right. I think the Bucs are also pretty good.
Yeah.
So I don't know if...
But even in the scenario where the Bucs win the division, you still think the Saints find their way into one of the three wild cards,
that's
right?
That's the thing. With an extra playoff spot? Like, that minus 350, or I'm assuming the Niners, right, are above them then to make the playoffs.
To make the playoffs? I'll double-check that, but let's assume that for now, but I'll tell you in a hot second,
Yeah, because I'm trying to figure out what the highest price would be. Maybe just the prices aren't outrageously high. But that minus 350 just...
San Fran is minus 410.
Okay.
Okay, so yes, but if you're looking at other big ones, you know, I mean, I would look at Kansas City and...
Yeah, like, what are the Chiefs and the Ravens?
I mean, the Chiefs are minus 850.
Yeah, like, and not that the Saints should be 850, but like...
Baltimore's minus 750.
I just, I think that the...
So 350, I guess you get... I mean, it's still heavy juice, right? But it's not a crazy proposition of the Chiefs or the Ravens,
Here's what the Saints have going for them that those other three teams don't. Jameis Winston. We saw it last year with Teddy. You mentioned it. They were unbeaten.
They were 5-0, right.
Now, that might sound like something that's not repeatable. Yes and no. It's a loaded roster with great coaching and legitimate backup talent. Like, it's not as if the backup that they were putting out there was a random backup. Teddy Bridgewater was paid $20 million to be a team's starting quarterback this season. Jameis Winston was the first
led the NFL in passing yards last year.
Like, we're not talking about a fluke guy. So they have, more than any team in the league, the best insurance policy if there is a quarterback injury.
Do you think Jameis Winston is the best backup quarterback in the NFL?
Has to be. Off the top of my head, I can't imagine a scenario where he – I mean, who else are you throwing out there? Andy Dalton?
Jacoby Brissett? Andy Dalton?
I think Jameis might be better than both the Colts quarterbacks, so definitely.
Okay. Andy Dalton?
Yeah, I think he's better than Dalton.
All right. Fair enough.
And I think what he could do in New Orleans – like, let me ask you this.
Yeah,
if Jameis was the quarterback and Breeze retired, and I know I'm taking us down an unnecessary
hypothetical. Right now in a warm-up.
Again, you always love going with, like, the worst scenario that fans don't want to hear. But, like, are they – like, they're still right there. Like, they're still minus money to go to the playoffs, I would say, with Jameis as the quarterback for the whole season.
So if Drew Breeze decides to become governor of Louisiana?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
There you go. How nice is that?
Doesn't want to. Then you still think a Jameis Winston-led Saints would be minus money to make the playoffs?
I do. Now, not minus 350, but we're talking about Drew Brees, one of the five best quarterbacks in the world, with such a loaded roster. And again, like, I know people are like, oh, this isn't bold. You're giving us a minus 350 pick. But I'm saying that I think that thing should be closer to 600.
Right.
So that is still value.
We're just finding the best value, right? And so maybe it's not the win total, not the division. And you would not – you would not bet them at, like, plus 650 to win the NFC?
One of the things that I'm struggling with in terms of, like, teams kind of winning the NFC.
You don't want to bet them to win the division. You don't want to bet them to win the NFC. It sounds like you may be a little bit lower than others on the Saints. If I asked a bunch of people, they'll be like, yeah, give me them minus 110 to win the division.
Sure.
Cautious because of the Bucs, right?
Yeah, I think the Bucs are pretty – I think the Bucs are pretty good. I mean, last year, the Bucs were fifth in defensive DVOA, right? Think about that. Jameis Winston threw 30 picks, and they were still halfway competent. Like –
I believe it. Listen, I say it, and we'll talk about the Bucs a little bit more, right, tomorrow. I obviously believe that, and I've said it before, if Tom Brady becomes a game manager for the Bucs, they win three more games. Can I interest you? You talked about Drew Brees and how great he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's 16-1 to win the MVP award. Okay? He's the fifth choice to win the MVP just behind Dak Prescott and just ahead of Carson Wentz, right? But here's my thing. Mm-hmm. They're the second choice in the NFC, right?
Yeah.
The first choice is San Francisco. If San Francisco has that one seed, they do it in a different way. I don't know if Jimmy G is getting MVP buzz.
Sure.
If the Saints are the one seed, I think Drew Brees will get MVP buzz. And do you believe anything in the idea of, like, public sentiment, right? Like, this maybe being his last rodeo, the last ride for Drew Brees. I don't think so.
I think he still hasn't won it. So
one time, and to be quite honest, there was a time where, ironically, Drew Brees was the only quarterback in that division who had not won the MVP award. Right? Cam Newton had, Matt Ryan had, Tom Brady has. You know, so it's interesting. But what I'll say is, if the Saints win the division, if the Saints are over here, let's say the Saints go 12-4, which we'll go game by game, but has to be within the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
I think Drew Brees over, say, Lamar Jackson, the defending MVP, Patty Mahomes, where the narrative will be like, he's got plenty of chances left in his career, right? I could see, if the Saints go 12-4, Brees becoming a heavy sentimental favorite, right, for this award. Can I interest you in Drew Brees at 16-1 league MVP?
You certainly could, because, and it's not just like, here's the MVP. He always has incredible numbers, and there's great weaponry there. Like, there's no reason for them not to be one of the best teams in the league and not have, you know, one of the best offenses in all of football. But one thing that I, you know, somewhat looking ahead a little bit, their schedule.
Yeah, we'll get into it in a second.
Do they travel to San Fran before I make this point? Because I can't remember if they do or if they don't travel to San Fran.
The game against San Fran is home.
Okay, now that is
game against San Fran.
That is big, because when you look at the top contenders, like the, that they have to, it's just if they're the one seed, that's such a big deal.
Yeah, going into the dome. Although Minnesota did it last year.
Hey, you know who also did? The Niners.
That's fair.
Last year.
Well, but remember that was the 48-45 crazy Kittle game.
It was amazing.
Absolutely. All right, so let's, you mentioned the schedule. Let's bring it up.
We're going to get started off hot, though, I'll tell you
that. We'll get started off, and, we'll have to take a break in here, and we'll go back to it. We'll also think about the Diamonds and the Fugazis for these New Orleans Saints, as we continue down the show, putting a bow here on Memorial Day. All right, this is the New Orleans Saints. Mm-hmm. All right, first of all, to know their bye week is week 6, early bye. Remember, they also have that ironic Friday night, Christmas night game where they host the Minnesota Vikings. But here's how they start. They start, their week one matchup because it's one of the biggest national TV kind of things. Drew Brees and Tom Brady, they get it started right off in the dome. And what you're talking about is probably a big game for this division. Do the Saints get it done? Who that?
So do you remember by chance the Saints week one game last year?
No, but they sweated it out.
Yeah, Monday Night Football against the Texans. Crazy game. Yeah. Lucky to win. That is the first time the Saints have won week one since 2013. They, for some reason, are not good week one.
You're telling me newness of Tom Brady coming on in is going to get it done in the dome?
It's a bad first opponent. Based on history, they're not good week one. They welcome in the Bucs. I have the Bucs winning the game.
All right, fair enough. You give them a loss. Then they go on the road. They go to Vegas to take on the Raiders, too.
Now that's bad for Vegas. I will say this, though. I circled this game, and I said someone will have what it takes to pick Vegas in this game. It's just not me.
It's just not you.
It's just not me.
Okay, fair enough. Week 3, they come back home for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, they're good there. They're not going to lose a first two in the dome.
And by the way, that's a Sunday night game at home.
Mm.
Okay, so you got them 2-1, right?
Yeah.
Then they go to Detroit.
Yeah, no problem there.
That's a win. Then they come back home, another primetime game. And remember, the Saints have like 5 primetime games.
Yeah, they sure do.
Another one, the Chargers come to town for a Monday night.
Yeah, should be a good spot for the Saints.
So you got them winning that one. Then they have their bye. They have their bye and they stay home. Carolina comes to town.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Panthers.
Bridgewater, Brady, revenge game, but it doesn't move the needle for you. No. You have the Saints 5-1 as they go back on the road. They go to Chicago.
They go to Chicago. Yeah, no problem there.
You get a W there. You have them at 6-1. Now on a Sunday night, they go to Tampa. Remember, they lost, in your opinion, to Tampa week one.
Right.
Now they go to Tampa, Sunday night football, to see Tom Brady. Raymond James is going to be popping for that one.
It should be a good one, but that's kind of my thing. Is like I know that I had them losing week one. I think I'm all right, kind of going with this split. The mystique that has existed around Brady his whole career at home, I think, is tied to Foxborough. I feel like it's tied to all of these things, and I don't know if I can have that same type of confidence at Raymond James.
All right, fair enough. So with half the season in the books, you have the Saints beating Tampa on the road in this primetime spot. That makes them 7-1 through the first half of the season. We'll see what they do in the back half when we come back. This is the early line. Dane and Kevin touring around the Saints schedule. Come on back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Early Line right here on Sports Grid. Dane and Kevin giving you the edge today, focused on the New Orleans Saints. And if you're new to the show, what we've been doing is going team by team, trying to have a deep dive to find value for them, find the good and bad spots of the schedule, find fantasy diamonds and fugazis. We'll let you know who to forget about for the New Orleans Saints in a hot second. But Kevin, we were halfway through their schedule and you have the Saints at 7-1. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when I think about things like that one seed, that over bet, it seems like they're sitting pretty. However, I will tell you, the second half of their schedule, it takes a turn to get a lot harder, in my opinion, Kevin. And it starts off with their next game, kind of, you know, a repeat of what I believe was the best game in the NFL last year. All right. The Niners come into the dome. This is very big, especially if you believe these are two of the top contenders in the conference. What say you? The Niners come to town again.
So I'm going to go with the Niners in this spot off of the Saints last week, having played Tampa Bay and giving the Saints the win in that spot. To me, winning that back to back is such a tall ask, man. It is likely a split. The way I'm doing it is this type of split, basically.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, so you give them a loss there, and that, you know, that could be big for seeding potentially in the NFC. They stay home, and the Falcons come to town the following week.
Now, there should be no worries there.
They get back on the gravy train, in your opinion. Now, remember, Kev, I said that there's a dreaded spot for about four teams in the NFL, okay? Yes. And for me, that is the back-to-back road trips, three in a row. And here's where it happens for the Saints. And by the way, you're going to love who and maybe the beneficiary of this, the third team, but we'll get to that in a hot second. Their first of their three-game road trip is at Denver.
I'll give them the win.
You'll give them that win. That makes them 9-2 on the season.
That's a dangerous game, though, isn't it?
It is a dangerous game. After that, they see the Falcons for the second time in 3 weeks, this time in the Georgia Dome.
I'm going with the Falcons.
Got to give them a loss there somewhere in the division, right? That's their second division loss by my count for you. And then in the third of three straight road games, they go outside on the grass in Philly to see the Eagles. Where are you going on this one, Kev?
I didn't make the schedule. Give it to the Eagles.
Fair enough. You have them as 9-4. Remember, this was a team that by your count was at 1.7-1, is now 9-4, have dropped three of their last five games. And it does not get easy, Kev. They come back home to see the Chiefs coming to town.
Unbelievable, man. Wow, what a fun game. I'm going to go, though, with the Saints on this spot. They've now, in my mind, lost two in a row. They're finally getting back home.
Yeah.
Their level of focus for this game goes up a whole nother level to me, and I give them this win.
So you give them given this win to go to 10-4 on the season. Two more games left. One is that Christmas night special at home against the Minnesota Vikings. Remember, that is also the week where there will be no longer Thursday night football. So in essence, this is kind of the short week for those Vikings, right? And Minnesota, just for context, Minnesota will be coming from home. They'll be coming from home in a game against Chicago, and they got to see the Saints in the Dome.
I still like the Saints.
All right, so you have them as 11-4, and then finishing off the season, the Saints go on the road at Carolina. Yeah,
yeah, I'll give them that win, especially because they probably need it. I don't see a world where
seeding and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, you have the Saints finishing 12-4. All right, so you have them finishing 12-4. So I got to ask you, that is technically the over the 10.5, right? 1.5. We've been talking about that as maybe right on the fringe, as enough daylight to be able to make a bet. But if you think this team goes 12-4, that makes the playoffs at -350. Does that win the division for you? Does that have them in the catbird seat for the NFC?
To me, I don't know if it does. I don't know if it does. Like, because again, like when I do this exercise, right? Like,
and we'll do Tampa tomorrow.
Yes,
because remember, you're worried about the division of Tampa. We'll do Tampa tomorrow. Remember, we got the Saints at 12-4 and splitting with the Bucs, right?
Yes, yes. Okay. Like the thing is that we will see when we do this, right? Is yes, like we have 12-4, but if you try and identify spots, right, and you almost want to find a range for yourself, and there's a couple of spots that have the ability to flip, right? like them taking that game off of the Chiefs is definitely a thing that kind of went their favor, right? That's a big type of spot. There was two games that stood out
as the Niners in a big spot, though.
Right, 100%. There's two games that jumped out as danger spots at Denver, at Vegas. I think those are danger spots, right? But I gave them both of those wins, no problem. The way they split with Tampa, right, is kind of interesting. But if they take, say, the first one off of Tampa, then maybe I'd give Tampa the second game. Now I haven't beaten the Niners. And you see how these things can kind of flip-flop.
Right, that's why we go through the schedule, yeah. 100%. To see the flow and the ups and downs of the season.
To me, though, I don't see any way, like if you just kind of start, you know, flipping cards, mix and matching, there's not a world where I'm getting to 8-8 with this team. It's just not in the cards. So that minus 350, again, it's a big minus price. Depends on the kind of better you are. And I am typically somebody who would go, oh, I don't like to do minus 350.
Right.
That to me, though, is a nice play because I would make the argument that it should be 500-600 for the Saints with the roster that they have.
Yeah, I mean, you even said you'd be comfortable if you acknowledge that Drew Brees ain't there, right? Yeah. You even said you'd still be comfortable in a playoff yes or no for them. Listen, they are stacked and loaded. Remember, this is a team that literally the last 3 years in a row have been bounced out of the playoffs on their last play of the season. And there's been controversy on all of them, right? The Minnesota Miracle with Stephon Diggs is what banged them out 3 years ago. 2 years ago, the pass interference call, right? They lose in the championship game, right? So that was controversial with the Rams. Then last year, the same pass interference call, I thought a lot of people saw controversy in. Kyle Rudolph pushed off in the damn end zone to win in overtime for Minnesota against the Saints. And so they get banged by this pass interference no call 1 year, get banged by a pass interference the following year. Now that rule is no longer in place. You know, this is why I also talk about the sentimental pick for Drew Brees. Okay, because in the last 3 years, look at the Saints' exit, right? So could there be a narrative out there that they actually get it done this year? I think they are going to be kind of the darling, the favorite. But we'll see how they go. You have them 12-4 and kind of, you know, definitely being a contender.
The thing about the Saints is they haven't done a lot to make themselves very endearing to a lot of people. Like Drew Brees, yes, right? Like you don't really hear people say bad things about Drew Brees. But they do a lot of crap talk for a team that keep getting bounced the way that they do. Like, the Minnesota Miracle, I know what you meant, right? But there wasn't actually controversy. They just blew it. They blew the play. And then what they proceeded to do the whole offseason.
Heartbreaking offense 3 years in a row. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, no, 100. But they proceeded the whole offseason to talk about how they would have beat the Eagles who won the Super Bowl, right? That's what they talked about the whole season. So then they go, they play the Rams, and yes, it was pass interference. But what we all like, they had chances to end that game and didn't do it. And then last year to me was like my breaking point of like, I'm done listening to this team. They're home against Kirk Cousins, who the week before, Dane, week before, looked like the worst quarterback in the league. And they lose in overtime. So that's my whole thing with this Saints team. Like, when it comes to the playoffs, I'm good. I'm not betting on you. You got a great roster. Michael Thomas is spending the whole offseason giving Devontae Parker the business.
Right.
You showed him, like, I'm good. Like, there's great talent here. I think they're making the playoffs. No, I don't think they're a lock to win this division. No, they're going to be another sexy Super Bowl pick that I won't be making. It's just... They to me have found a way to where it should be like, man, I hope Brees gets it done. But like them just being like, we're really the best team. Like Michael Thomas is tweeting throughout the whole playoffs, like how they would have beat the Niners.
Right.
You lost to that same Vikings team. Like, just do
it. I hear you. Okay, so listen, the Saints are on Kevin's pool list, apparently, and I understand why. You know, we talked about the social media beef back and forth, right? We talk about how Kamara reacts to seeing another running back get his contract. I understand what you're talking about. Saints fans refusing to play the Super Bowl on TVs in the city of New Orleans. So I get that. And you mentioned Michael Thomas. You know, previously in this division, for the fantasy diamonds and fugazis, we talked about Christian McCaffrey. And we talked about when you have RB1, how can you, relatively speaking, be a diamond in the rough, right? Michael Thomas is going not only as a first round pick in fantasy, but literally as the first wide receiver off the board in fantasy. Some people are taking him inside the top five, inside the top four, around these running backs like Christian McCaffrey. You know, I've seen Michael Thomas go off the board before Ezekiel Elliott in some places, right? So talk to me. I'm not going to ever label the man who set an all-time record necessarily as a fugazi per se.
Yeah.
But talk to me about the fantasy value of Michael Thomas.
I mean, look, I was in on Michael Thomas last year, and it paid dividends, right, for the spots, for anybody that drafted Michael Thomas. The question I have is balancing it now with the arrival of Emmanuel Sanders.
Yep.
I mean, the gap between Emmanuel Sanders and whomever you wanted to label the second option in that passing game, I mean, probably Alvin Kamara, so let's just call it the second wide receiver in that passing game, is so massive that it kind of then, it begs the question, like, should Michael Thomas be wide receiver one? The thing is, though, right, he's still probably the safest option because of, like, the wide receiver that he is with the accuracy that he gets from the quarterback. Like, he's probably still just the safest option. Will he be the first wide receiver I take specifically? I'm not sure about that, right? Like, we've talked about Davante Adams. I think you've mentioned Tyreek Hill somewhat.
Tell you the top five in ADP at the wideout position. Michael Thomas, one. Davante Adams, two. So when you talk about the safest floor, my only argument would be Adams. Tyreek Hill, three. Julio Jones, four. And D-Hop in a new team at number five. That's what the ADP says as of now.
Yeah, and I think in terms of ceiling, Davante Hill, maybe Hopkins can make their arguments.
Right.
In terms of floor,
I think Michael Thomas is the floor. I think Michael Thomas has the safest floor, right?
Yeah.
And so if you're going to be taking one of these guys, you do want the safest floor. I give you that. It's just interesting, right? When you're dealing with someone all the way up at that level, right? And so let me do the same thing. Let me ask you the same exact thing about Alvin Kamara. Okay, Kev, I mean, Alvin Kamara is going within the top five running backs. You know, he is right now, he's tied kind of as running back five along with Dalvin Cook. It goes McCaffrey, Barkley, Zeke, Derrick Henry, and then like Cook and Kamara. When we come back on the other side of the break, I want to get your thoughts on Alvin Kamara potentially as a value. Are touchdowns fluky? What about Lat Murray in that backfield? And then we investigate the fantasy values of the Saints. We find some diamonds and we find some guys to forget about as well. We tie a nice, neat little bow on this Memorial Day episode of The Early Line. Come on right back. Dane and Kevin will be here. Hopefully you will be too.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to The Early Line right here on Sports Grid. I'm Dane Martinez, and part of my job is to make that man, Kevin Walsh, chuckle a few times every show. You know, it's summer, right? We're getting out here now. Bright skies. We should be having fun. And that's what we do here, Kevin, on Sports Grid, on The Early Line. I don't know if you've heard me say this. We put the fun in functional gambling right now. We're a functional alcoholic or a functional. We put the fun in functional sports content. We put the fun in everything here, which is why you always got to keep it locked on Sports Grid, giving you the edge, having fun as we do it. We were talking about Alvin Kamara, Kev, and Michael Thomas is at the top of the food chain for wideout, right? Yeah. So is he a value? Probably not, unfortunately. No shade to Michael Thomas. You know, what about if you apply that same logic to Alvin Kamara? Like last year, Alvin Kamara was the top three or four pick. There were four consensus dudes last year. They were Christian McCaffrey, Zeke Elliott, Saquon Barkley, and Alvin Kamara. Now, okay, Derrick Henry's in that mix. Dalvin Cook is in that mix. But, could you see Kamara really ever being a fugazi or a diamond based on his level?
It's weird. I don't know if in the Dane Super Database you can tell me where Kamara finished last year. But he had what felt like a very, very odd season to me.
he didn't have the touchdowns. The touchdowns were kind of fluky, and that's where, and that's why I say all the damn time, that's kind of the difference, you know? That was where the big difference was from Kamara last year.
And I wonder if then that means that there's a world where Alvin Kamara's maybe RB1 at the end of this season. Like, does it all come back around?
If he gets
around?
It back. Right.
You know, like,
possible.
Or are we just going to do this Taysom Hill garbage?
Well, it was Latt Murray there, right? Who was kind of like the goal line, change of pace.
Drew Brees
much
had
like Mark Ingram
rushing
was.
Touchdowns. Like,
but here's what I'd also say. Alvin Kamara ascended to that level previously when Mark Ingram was in the backfield still. Yeah. Right. So the idea that whether it's Latt, whether it's Taysom Hill, whether it's, you know, Jared Cook on the tight end sweep, which, by the way, they did once, I think Kamara is primed for something. To me, Kamara's a guy, he's going to be like the forgotten son. OK, he's going to be the one that literally at the first round level, I think people are sort of getting, he's sort of getting lost in the sauce. Like, everyone knows about Henry, right? Leading the league in rushing. Everyone is high as hell on Joe Mixon, on Dalvin Cook this year, right? Guys like Nick Chubb. I feel like Kamara could get forgotten about a little bit.
He's a very simple case of anybody that drafted him last year is not going to want him this year.
Right.
Because you know how fantasy owners are with that stuff. Not again,
right.
Not again. So that right there kind of is that specific spot. And then there's just going to be a lot of people that lean to last year. So, like, I mean, I could see a world where, like, we get to draft day and I'm like, man, I think Alvin Kamara is maybe actually, like, the guy. You know
right.
what I mean?
But he's still there for you. You're drafting 9th overall in a draft, right? And let's say, you know, Zeke is gone, CMC is gone, Saquon is gone, Cook is gone, Henry is gone, that's 5. Yeah. Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyreek Hill, and Julio Jones have been picked. You're sitting there. You're telling me Kamara is not live as your pick right there?
Of course he's live. The question I guess I have to pull, it's actually the same question that applied with Michael Thomas, is what about Emmanuel Sanders? Because Alvin Kamara really did have the luxury of being like wide receiver 2.
Right.
And I guess, like, I mean, at this point, I have to find, like, where is Emmanuel Sanders going?
So I didn't say it yet because he is my diamond in the rough.
Yeah, I mean, he's everybody's diamond, though, I feel like.
What
that's
if I tell you, I mean, he's going off. I think it's ridiculous, okay? I think it's completely ridiculous. So first of all, what I'll say is, in a vacuum, Saints wideout 2, I'm interested in that dude. I don't care who it is, right? Like, Ted Ginn Jr. had fantasy value. People were thinking about, who was that kid? Traquan Smith. Yeah. People were like, oh, maybe he's worth look, right? Yeah. This idea, they drafted, they signed Dez Bryant, for goodness sakes, to try to fill that need at one point, right?
Yeah,
but if
yeah,
we talk
yeah.
about Drew Brees as a Hall of Fame quarterback, someone who's going to set records, a live MVP candidate, 4,500 yards, 5,000 yards, some of that is going to wide receiver, too. And I believe Manny Sanders, for that exact reason, Kevin, is a diamond in the rough, especially if I tell you right now he's going in flex territory. He's going as wideout 42.
No way. I don't understand how anything works. I really thought that there was a world where you were going to tell me he was in wide receiver 2 range.
Yeah, and I view him with that kind of potential. Let me give you, I said 42. I mean, it's just embarrassing.
Am I missing?
Here's some of the names at 40. I told you 42, right? Here are some of the names between 35 and 42.
Yeah.
Okay. John Brown in Buffalo.
No. What?
Christian Kirk in Arizona.
That's crazy.
Sterling Shepard.
Absolutely. I mean, is he wide receiver 1 in NY?
Right. Marvin Jones in Detroit, the second wide receiver in Detroit. Versus the second wide receiver in New Orleans, Will Fuller. You know, this is the names that are there. Julian Edelman.
Fuller's interesting.
Brandon Cooks is there. You know, that level. I'm taking Manny Sanders ahead of all of them.
You
why?
Know,
Drew Brees. That's why.
I got to say.
And if off of 150 some odd catches, you telling me what kind of attention Michael Thomas is going to get on one side? This is Manny Sanders singled up all day long. With them still having to think about Alvin Kamara. You know, I think this is a primed and great spot for Manny Sanders. He's my diamond in the rough. It seems like you like him too.
I definitely like him, but I have to say, so John Brown caught me off guard just because I feel like Diggs is going to command more carries. Although maybe there's a world where his built-in relationship with Josh Allen matters a lot. The Christian Kirk thing is crazy. That's crazy. He could be wide receiver three on that team.
Third choice on that team now, yeah.
So, but I will say a lot of some of those other names.
Another third choice that's way ahead of him. Manny Sanders is 42. Hey, our producer is going to love this one. Venmo Brian at 31 is Michael Gallup.
Michael Gallup could still be two. Dak loves him. My thing is, I'll say wide receiver sounds very deep.
It does.
Like some of those names you were saying also sound way low. Before,
like Keenan Allen at 23, T.Y. Hilton at 24. I had this conversation with Jared on In-Game Live, and I don't want to do too much of it, but there's that. I think you're right. Wide receiver is deep, and that's because we're evolving into a passing offense. Okay, the second and third wide receivers on every team are going to get some balls. And
yeah,
the inverse of that is also true, Kevin. The idea of how many teams, remember I say the RBB three, right? Three guys in a committee, right? So the idea of how many workhorses there are in the National Football League are drying up like, whoa. So for me, when I'm in fantasy drafts this year, I'm going to go running back, running back.
Yeah, no, that's...
I'm going to wait on these wideouts, and I'll be happy to get T.Y. Hilton and then, you know, Jarvis Landry and then, you know, Emmanuel Sanders.
That's, yeah, I think that's really what's kind of standing out to me as we go through this. I've talked to before on here about the very specific draft situation that I'm going to be in where I'll be picking number one at 12 and then that turn. And, you usually try and split it up.
Because the amount of wideouts that'll be still there available for you later that we could describe as quality. Listen to these. A.J. Green at 28. You know what I mean? Like, so we see options there for you after the running back pond has gone dry.
Yeah. I wonder, is there, because a lot of times in fantasy, though, there will be this almost like drop off. There will be the cliff, right?
Here's,
where you'll hit like wide receiver and I'd have it, you know, like 50. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, they're all terrible. I don't want any of them. Because everybody you're naming right now, if they were my second wide receiver, I'm not upset about it.
Exactly. And we could push it, right, to the third wide receiver where I'm getting, you know, down at the low 40s, early 50s, Alshon Jeffrey, Golden Tate, Preston Williams, who we talked about. You know, so, yeah, those are serviceable.
Where's Alshon Jeffrey?
49.
I don't understand how that works. Like, this is not an Eagles thing. Like, is he
Eagles wide receiver on the list, and it's Alshon Jeffrey at number 49, yes.
Those are the things, though, about fantasy that'll always puzzle me, and it is always people trying too hard, I've always felt, to be the smartest guy in the room.
To be a little too cute?
If Carson Wentz is going to be a top 12 quarterback,
right?
How is it plausible that his number one guy, I mean, I guess you could argue it's Ertz, like, and maybe people will say, nah, it's too much of a split. We don't know what's between Deshaun, Rieger.
It is. It's a fancy herd. You know, there's two tight ends involved. You mentioned all the wideout names. Sanders out of the backfield. I think it's a prototypical fantasy herd question, which depresses the value, and Jeffrey is part of that. We only got a couple of minutes here, though, so give me one other player you want to talk about here for the New Orleans Saints.
I guess it'd be interesting just to kind of, because we've gone through a lot of the other positions, as to where Jared Cook is going. Because Jared,
that's where I had as well. And, you know, I think, to be quite honest, he could be the casualty of Emmanuel Sanders, right? Like, if we believe Manny Sanders and Kamara and Thomas and all this, could he be the casualty? He's going as tight end 9, the back end of that second tier that I tell you about, right?
Yeah.
And he's the back end of that after guys like Tyler Higbee, right around where Austin Hooper is, where Gronk is. I actually think his production will drop from last year because of the advent of a guy like Manny Sanders. So he would be someone that I think maybe loses out. There's not a chair for him for production in the Saints when the music stops for the Saints.
Yeah, he came on a little bit, though, towards the end of the season last year. And it made me wonder, did he find a rhythm and could he be, you know, because obviously right there was that patch where Bridgewater was the quarterback. Like, is there a world where year two, him and Breeze really have a connection? Cook is someone I'll be trying to keep tabs on. He's a tough read for me. He was someone I was very excited about last year. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to avoid the scorned lover approach. He wasn't what I thought he would be. You know,
came on late a little bit.
Yeah.
But Right. I was a little bit higher. I was like, ooh, they fight because they signed him. They spent money on him, right, yeah, last year. So I thought, ooh, this could be a guy. You're right. I'd be cautious about Cook. He could be at a level where you can get that kind of production otherwise. I do want to finish off on a positive note, though. It is Memorial Day. We honor our veterans and people whose lives we've lost. And unfortunately, here with this pandemic, it makes me think about the nearly 100,000 people in this country who we've also lost. But, you know, there's people out there doing good stuff, okay? Check this out. Russell Westbrook. I don't know if you saw this, Kev. Russell Westbrook kind of made a surprise visit to the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Hospital in Los Angeles late last week. And he went there and he passed out food. Okay, he passed out food for all of the healthcare workers out there in Los Angeles, feeding the healthcare workers. We have a picture of it up on the screen. Russell Westbrook with all the meals that he was giving out to some of the healthcare workers, again, in Los Angeles at the Martin Luther King Jr. Community Hospital. Nice things, right? Athletes stepping up in these times.
Yeah, hey, look, it's always great to see. And I think one of the things we've come to, you know, expect from these athletes, even though it's not necessarily a, like, it's not a duty, but they've kind of taken it upon themselves. And it's one of the things that, like, I appreciate about sports. I mean, I remember when a lot of this started, one of the best stories we saw was Zion Williamson, who's right, still on a rookie deal, stepped
and
up.
They're, and they're like the arena
staff
workers.
Yeah, man. Like, it's just, those are the type of things that, you know, it's a part of sports. It's a part of it. Every, you know, it's the community. It truly, truly matters. And it's great, great stuff to see.
Absolutely. So with that, we wish everybody here from us at the Early Line a happy Memorial Day. We'll be back tomorrow to keep talking about sports, but enjoy the holiday, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big.